This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. The community of Bear Lake, roughly 80 kilometers north of the city of Prince George, has experienced hardship with Canfor's Polar Sawmill closing in 2024, though a different project entered the horizon at approximately the same time. With the endorsement of McLeod Lake Indian Band, Defense Metals announced its Wichita Rare Earth Element project. Expected to begin producing in approximately the year 2030, the rare earth element mine could be providing materials needed for the manufacture of rare earth magnets, electric vehicles, cell phones, medical equipment, and a wide array of other technology. Further strengthening the prospect of this development, the BC government's Critical Minerals Office announced on February 23, 2026, that the Wichita Rare Earth Element Project has been selected as an advanced project, one of three in the province. We reached out to the Critical Minerals Office, hoping to secure an interview with BC Minister of Mining and Critical Minerals, Jagrup Brar, on the subject. We instead received the following statement attributed to the Ministry of Mining and Critical Minerals. I'll read a few points as follows. To begin, BC has a generational opportunity to drive growth and create new jobs across the entire critical mineral value chain from mining to manufacturing to recycling. Early coordination with the support of BC's Critical Minerals Office helps ensure quicker permitting through clear communication and stronger alignment between government, communities, First Nations, and project proponents as critical minerals projects move toward environmental assessment and permitting. These three new projects, North Isle Copper and Gold's North Island Project, Surge Copper's Berg Projects, Defense Metals' Wichita Project, have the potential to support jobs and drive economic growth throughout the region for decades, in line with the lifespans of these mines. And finally, while it's only a preliminary estimate, Defense Metals' Wichita Project alone is anticipated to support 400 construction jobs and a further 200 permanent jobs over the life of the mine. End statement. While CIFA Radio was not able to secure an appointment with the Critical Minerals Office, we were able to speak with President and CEO of Defense Metals, Mark Torrey, who joined us over video conference. Thanks for joining us today, Mark.
Thanks, Ian. It's great to be here.
What are some of the uses for these rare earth elements?
I mean, rare earths go into a lot of things. It includes defense, robotics, all the EVs that you talked about, wind turbines, certainly all the greening of the economy.
As I understand it, on the projected timeline, the opening date will fall into 2030. What can you tell us about what this designation means for the project and Defense Metals from the Critical Minerals Office?
Yeah, look, it's one of those things. You've been obviously working with both the provincial government and the federal government to ensure that defence is really high up on their radar to try and progress the project, you know, as quickly as possible. And so we've been getting some great support from both the provincial government and the federal government. And what this does is it actually recognises, you know, our project's strengths and the level of advancement that we actually are. It enables us to look at syncing our technical progress with a clear regulatory pathway right from the outset. So, you know, as we work with First Nations rights holders plus the provincial government, you know, we're going to ensure that our project advances in the fastest way possible.
Rare earth metals are a hot topic these days with a combination of tech sector and manufacturing demand, an ongoing trade dispute with the USA, etc. I understand most rare earth minerals originate from China, correct me if I'm wrong, but what minerals are you hoping to bring to the table with Wichita, and is BC positioned to take advantage of this production with either delivery mechanisms, refining, manufacturing capacity? Essentially, will we end up shipping the raw product out to somewhere, or what sort of value-added processes are we positioned to offer? Where does this world of rare earth elements happen? Where's the center of it?
Well, you're right. I mean, China at the moment dominates all the downstream industry in particular. As you go further downstream in the rare earth processing chain, China has over 90% of production of like rare earth magnets, for example. So what we're looking at here is trying to develop as much of a downstream industry as possible within Canada. And obviously, you know, within BC, if we can. And that, it, you know, for us, it includes going down as a first stage to what we call a neodymium praseodymium oxide. So just shortening it to NdPr, which makes it easy for everybody. You know, that NdPr oxide then goes into an alloy maker that goes into a metal maker that then goes into a magnet. So that's sort of the whole downstream process. And, you know, we're hoping to get as much of that process into Canada as possible. For us as Defence Metals, we're trying to get that first stage first of just getting to that NdPr oxide.
As a mine, as a proponent of actually extracting the minerals, what mechanisms do you feel you're able to leverage to try to get some of these value-added processes into BC, into Canada? How does the big machine work?
well, as you mentioned in the question, you know, China's dominated. You know, we're having issues with the US, so there needs to be a surety of supply. I think not only just outside of China, but also outside of the US. You know, the recent strengthening of relationships with the EU and Canada is also a real positive in relation to the potential for us to go to the EU and the EU to come into us and invest in that downstream processing.
You'd mentioned before the interview that you'd been involved in a trip over to the EU with also some government representatives. Do these types of excursions tend to help build that market for what you're trying to produce and what Canada and Northern BC can bring to the table in that regard?
Oh, very much so. So this was a delegation with NRCan and Invest in Canada, and you know, they'd organised B2B meetings through three different cities in Europe, and they very much give us initial introductions or ongoing introductions to people that we are wanting to do business with, try to attract into Canada to do a lot of that downstream processing that we've mentioned.
We were talking about a projected timeline of sometime in 2030, the mine would be brought to production. It's 2026 now. Where along the stage are you now? What's happening over at Wichita Rare Earth Element Project?
Yeah, so we completed our preliminary feasibility study in February last year in 2025. So we've been working towards starting our full bankable feasibility study.
What is a banking feasibility study, or BFS? To quote Ricardo M. Campoy, Managing Director of Mining and Metals Group, ING, U.S. Capital Corp., from a 1997 interview by author Lane White of Mining Media Services, Campoy said, "A bankable document is one that satisfactorily provides all of the information and auditing necessary for the bank and its engineer to determine that the risks are acceptable and the project is viable on a standalone project finance basis," end quote. And according to homerunresources.com, unlike early scoping or preliminary studies, a BFS is built specifically so lenders, family offices, infrastructure funds, and strategic partners can rely on it in their own credit and investment committees. It pulls together detailed engineering, market analysis, operating and capital cost investments, financial models, and a clear risk register so investors can see not just the upside, but what happens when key assumptions move.
We're just starting a work program up there at the moment to do some drilling and some work for our feasibility study. We're looking to have the announcement of starting the feasibility study sometime in the first 6 months of this year. That will keep us on the timeline to 2030, as you mentioned, and that's obviously assuming all the planets align and nothing goes wrong from here till 2030. So we'll keep going down that track.
Yeah, this world of mining is highly speculative and so on, but within some of the things that we do know that, you know, there's a highway close there, the infrastructure of the town of Bear Lake is nearby, there's a railroad that goes pretty close to this mine site as well.
Yep.
And what assurances does this designation from the BC Critical Minerals Office grant you in your position? Did it feel like, you know, a big weight is off your shoulders and there's some certainty approaching you now? Or was that really a question in the first place for you? Were you ever concerned that the Critical Minerals Office might not be behind your project?
No, we've been having some very positive discussions with the provincial government for quite a while. So, you know, it's just nice to be designated. You know, it's nice to be able to go out in the public and let people know that we do have this designation. You know, and just on top of Bear Lake, we've also got, you know, the local community of Prince George just 80 kilometres away as well, which has an existing workforce and mining services. So there's both of those as well. So for us, it was just, as I said, we've been coordinating with the Critical Minerals Office for a while, and this just strengthens that relationship.
At this point in the process, the long-term planning of reclamation and so on is into the future at this stage. You don't get into that until you're actually getting product out of a mine, typically. Is that right?
No. It is something we've got to think about, and we've got to think about it as part of our permitting process. And you certainly do have to put all the plans in place for the reclamation and mine closure, et cetera, as part of your permitting application. It's just we've got to go down that path to do that work. That hasn't been done yet. That's part of this permitting process.
I don't know what you can tell us about the future, but when do you think we'll hear more about Wachita Rare Earth Element Project?
As I said, we've got to finish these work programs, start off our bankable feasibility study. We're currently about to start a 30-ton pilot plant at SGS to go right through from the beneficiation to a hydromet to a separation. So there's three stages of processing that we'll be doing. So
here I'll interrupt our conversation with President and CEO of Defense Metals, Mark Torrey, for some clarification of terminology. What is that acronym?
SGS is a lab that does the laboratory work around testing for all of these different processes.
So SGS is a Swiss multinational firm with a Canadian headquarters in Ontario. They do testing, inspections, and certification for all kinds of industries, including mining. Defense Metals is sending samples they have mined over to the SGS pilot plant, where the process of beneficiation occurs and is optimized.
The beneficiation to a hydromet.
Beneficiation basically describes any metallurgical process that results in some form of upgrading the ore, typically involving multiple stages of crushing, grinding, and classification. In this particular situation, flotation, or froth flotation, is being used. In this process of beneficiation, crushed up material is turned into a slurry, and an agitator makes a bunch of foam, and the resulting air bubbles lift the valuable particles to the surface, forming a mineral-rich froth that is skimmed off. Hydromet, or hydrometallurgy, involves the use of aqueous chemistry for the recovery of metals from ores, as opposed to pyrometallurgy using high heat. There are a number of different hydrometallurgical processes which might use acids, solvents, gases, or pressure, which concentrates or upgrades whatever minerals and ores are being targeted. Rare earth mineral processing often involves a sulfation bake or a sulfuric acid bake, which Mark explained in a subsequent conversation involves a kiln where sulfuric acid is added to the ore that's been refined up to this point to crack the mineralization. There, the elements are converted into rare earth sulfates, which are then dissolved in a subsequent water leach involving purification and ionization.
Hydromet to a separation.
Further down the line in the refinement process is separation. The individual rare elements are separated into oxides. There are many separation techniques, but in this case of neodymium and praseodymium oxides, the process is primarily chemical, involving a series of tanks with different reagent chemicals that, through a series of more specific reactions, further refine the elements. So those three stages of processing again are
the beneficiation to a hydromet to a separation. So we need to go through all of that test work. And obviously we're going to continue to look at potential strategic relationships, both from a technical perspective and a financial perspective.
Thank you. You're headed to PDAC, PDAC, out in Toronto soon. It's a big conference. Prospectors, the whole thing. What's
PDAC? That's the Prospectors and Developers Association of Canada Convention, the world's premier mineral exploration and mining event, which happens annually in Toronto with roughly 27,000 people in attendance each year.
What's on the agenda for Defense Metals over at the big conference this year?
Yeah, so I head over Saturday. Look, I've just been looking at my schedule this afternoon, and it's very full, both with meeting potential investors, meeting government, some suppliers that might be doing some work for us. So, yeah, it's going to be a very interesting few days over at PDAC. It always is.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today, Mark. I really appreciate it. Joining us over the line is Mark Torrey, President and CEO of Defense Metals, chatting with us about the Wachita Rare Earth Element Project, which is
projected to take place 80 kilometers north of Prince George near Bear Lake. Thanks for your time.
Again, the Critical Minerals Office of British Columbia announced February 23rd, 2026, that the Defense Metal Corporation's Wachita project would work with the CMO to support early coordination as the project prepares for environmental assessment and future permitting processes. One of three other projects selected for advancement, including North Isle Copper and Gold's North Island project and Surge Copper Corporation's Berg project. We were not able to secure comment from a McLeod Lake Indian Band representative in time for deadline. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.